ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 7, text number 36. Matam pramatam unmatam asuttam balam striyam jalam prappanam viratam bhitam narupam hantam dharmavit matam. Careless. Pramatam. Intoxicated. Unmatam. Insane. Asuptam. Asleep. Balam. Boy. Striyam. Woman. Jatam. Foolish. Prapanam. Surrendered. Viratam. One who has lost his chariot. Bitam. Afraid. Na. Not. Ripam. Enemy. Anti. Kill. Dhanamavit. One who knows the principles of religion. Translation: a person who knows the principles of religion does not kill an enemy who is careless, intoxicated, insane, asleep, afraid, or devoid of his chariot, nor does he kill a boy, a woman, a foolish creature, or a surrendered soul. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. An enemy who does not resist is never killed by a warrior who knows the principles of religion. Formerly, battles were fought on the principles of religion and not for the sake of sense gratification. If the enemy happened to be intoxicated, asleep, etc., as above mentioned, he was never to be killed. These are some of the codes of religious war. Formerly, war was never declared by the whims of selfish political leaders. It was carried out on religious principles, free from all vices. Violence carried out on religious principles is far superior to so-called violence. So, of course, here we can, in Srila Prabhupada's last sentence in his purport, violence carried out on religious principles is far superior to so-called violence. So, these days, of course, people are very much against violence because they're accustomed to experiencing violence in this day and age, which is devoid of religious principles, and therefore you know, people in fact have a right to be against violence. The difficulty is, of course, they do not know, because they haven't experienced, that violence can actually be of a very superior nature when such violence is fought according to religious principles. So that type of violence, although it is still a last resort measure, is not considered to be something which is bad. In fact, it's a good thing. Srila Prabhupada here describes it, violence carried out on religious principles is far superior to so-called non-violence. Now, of course, non-violence means that someone should be punished and they are not. Just like if someone comes, you know, if someone came to their home and decided that they were going to kill the children, you know, the elderly people, they wanted, you know, maybe $50 for some drugs, and they were going to you know, kill the people in the house until they handed over the money. And you tried to persuade them that we don't have any cash, and so they start killing the family members. So in that case, non-violence would be a very bad thing, to not act, to allow those who need to be protected to simply be slaughtered, butchered, raped, you know, what have you. One would actually have to you know, try one's best, using violence if that was necessary, to stop those persons. And according to the laws of religion, that is proper. There's a few funny stories actually about stories we used to tell in the early days, which we can't tell anymore, but about different times where people have attacked the deities. People have come in and literally wanted to smash the deities to pieces. And the devotees have had to, you know, try to stop those persons, and sometimes using quite forceful measures of violence. We won't go into all the gory details, but you know, sometimes, you know, would we sit here and let someone come in and go into smash Radhavala and Guruntai and Jagannath Balava, you know, smash the murder sort of part? Would we just sit there and say, oh, we are, you know, non-violent, you go ahead, we'll just watch? No, we would, you know, defend the deities. Actually, there's a story where Srila Prabhupada was in India, and they were doing a pandal program. And after the lecture, Prabhupada and his disciples danced on stage. Some of the disciples jumped into the audience and danced with the audience, and everyone was very ecstatic. The next night, again, after the lecture, they were dancing. Prabhupada was also dancing, playing cards. And one of the men was, you know, trying to get some of the devotees to jump in the audience again, because, you know, it was a spontaneous thing they did the previous night. They didn't want to do it. But then he started grabbing at their feet and then started pulling at the Mataji's saris like this in a very forceful way. Prabhupada immediately charge at that man, swinging his cartels like this. And you know, that man, you know, backed off, and that was the end of that situation. But the disciples were, you know, quite surprised to see Srila Prabhupada so ferociously, you know, ready to protect. Because you can remember he was about 70 something years old. But still, swinging that pair of cartels off. I'll be back in the way too. So, and actually, I saw another devotee do that. Prabhupada disciple, we were having kirtan, because we don't get the troubles these days to some degree that we, you know, used to get in Australia. I remember on some kirtans I've seen devotees, you know, people come up and secretly set their clothes on fire, yeah? And then sometimes different gangs would come up. And I saw one time where, again, someone had attacked some of the devotees in the Kirtan party, and one of the Prabhupada disciples did a very similar thing. He just charged them, got the, you know, whirling the cartels on the Sudarshan Chakra, and just absolutely, he probably dived from about here to the door, you know, onto this person swinging the cartels, and just bowled him over in the street, you know, just absolutely charged him. So, you know, this, you know, sometimes violence is required as a last resort measure, especially in Kali Yuga. We see also that Lord Nrisimhadev was, you know, very ferociously attacked Hiranyakasipu, who was tried to kill Prahlad Maharaj, you know, an innocent boy, in many different ways. When Lord Nityananda was struck, I think with a pot, by Jagai Madai, one of those two brothers, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was ready to, you know, invoke his Sudarshan disc and kill him immediately. So sometimes, you know, as a last resort measure, even, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course, who is of all incarnations, you know, known for his you know, magnanimous heart, his heart, you know, just brimming with love for all living entities, but still, you know, as a last resort measure, sometimes violence is required. But according to religious principles, you know, usually violence is a last resort measure, and it, you know, it is to the violence is against aggressors, those who are openly aggressive. But even then, you know, sometimes, you know, if it can be possibly avoided, then, you know, even then sometimes it's good to avoid, especially in this day and age. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's, actually Lord Nityananda said to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, if you're going to kill Jagai and Madai, then you may have to kill everyone in Kali Yuga. Because, you know, they're all of the same caliber. So, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted that from Lord Nityananda, that yes, we will kill them, we will kill the demon within their heart in a different way, by you know, Harinam Kirtan and Prasadam, like this, dancing and chanting. Because in fact, in Kali Yuga, everyone is somewhat mad, as just described here. You know, Matam cares, you know, they're not really you know, very well situated, they don't think very carefully. Pramattam, they're intoxicated, they're either, you know, on physically on some sort of drugs, or they're intoxicated with you know, their wealth, intoxicated with the strength of their body, intoxicated with whatever they have, their possessions, their achievements. Unmatam, insane. You know, unmatam is a little further mad. Like pramatam is somewhat mad, intoxicated or mad. Unmatam is a little bit more down the road. they say, we used to say on the farm, there's a kangaroo loose in the top paddock. Prabhupada says, you know, one of the symptoms on the tongue, they tend to walk around naked or, you know, do things like this. They're just, and of course here, suttam, sleeping, jadam, foolish. You know, practically you can put most people in Kali Yuga in this category, everyone in Kali Yuga in this category. So killing them is generally, or you know, even severe violence is generally avoided because of their fallen condition. Because that, you know, they're not really in a proper state of mind. So you know, in Kali Yuga there is a special concession to avoid violence. There was, but still, I remember there was, I had one godbrother who used to, he was, had a lot of anger in him, and he used to sometimes fight with the devotees and want to, you know, beat them up. And one of the senior devotees said to him that, you know, if you're going to, you know, utilize that propensity, you should utilize it to protect the devotees. I remember one time at in New Zealand, we had a Rath Yatra parade, and there was a friend of mine who was trying to be a devotee. He was, they were called a skinhead in those days. They had the, you know, they wear the Doc Martin boots and, you know, the jeans, and sometimes they have the cross, you know, cut into the forehead like Charles Manson, like this. And so he was also a very violent personality. One time we were at a Rath Yatra parade, and after the parade we went back to a big park, and one of the devotees was inviting everyone who had gathered around the car, come and join us, we're sort of in the city square actually, come and join us and have some prasadam, you know, see some plays, have some kirtan like this. And while he was doing that, there were some Christians who were really trying to stir, you know, they were yelling and criticizing and, you know, being very sort of rowdy. Anyway, this there was a couple, a group of them standing next to me, and this skinhead fella, he'd come up and, you know, next to me, he stamped on their toes, like, so, you know, with the, they have the steel tipped boots and that, so, you know, basically they're all just quieting down. Not that it's recommended, but sometimes people come to the movement, they have that propensity, and you know, they sometimes use it, but you know, they use it in Christian service, but it's not recommended. It's not recommended because, you know, in many cases they don't understand religious principles. If they were to use such violence strictly according to religious principles, you know, strictly following the you know, indications of, you know, Shastra, you know, the devotion, the Krishna Conscious Society, they may be a lot more careful that, you know, only under extreme circumstances, matters of life and death, you know, they may do something. Not that you're at a Rath Yatra parade and you go around stamping on people's toes. You know, just because they have that propensity. So, I did mention to him, you know, like, thanks, but no thanks. Thanks, but, you know, generally, you know, we try and avoid that sort of preaching tactic, you know. So I went up and explained it to him. So he took it on board, but and you know, this, as I was saying, there's one devotee, again, he had a propensity, and he sort of, took that instruction that, you know, you use the violence to protect the devotees, but again, wasn't completely properly guided. And so, you know, he took matters a little bit into his own hands. Literally, when he went out on Sankirtan, he would sometimes be just looking for the opportunity to have a fight. So, you know, someone would say something to him, and then, you know, it'd be on, you know, around the back lane like that, and they'd be bashing each other up. So he would quite often come home from Sankirtan with a black eye or a fat lip. But, so, you know, that sort of thing is not to be encouraged in our society. Violence can be used, but as an absolute last resort measure, and by persons who are trained according to religious principles, you know, how to utilize violence in the most minimalistic and effective way in matters of life and death, you know, to protect people. Not that there's some, you know, agitated state, and that anyone who thinks, oh yes, I'm a bit of a fighter, that they come to Krishna consciousness and they just start, you know, standing on people's toes and things like that. That's actually to be avoided, as we said, because most people in Kali Yuga are somewhat disturbed in mind. They're, you know, if you're going to use violence, those tactics, you'd be using them on everyone, because they're all, you know, there's so many people very, very disturbed. You don't have to do anything. Sometimes just the fact that you're, you know, a Hare Krishna is enough that they want to attack you. You know? And you know, the best thing is to, you know, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's method, and just gradually, you know, purifying people's hearts. You know, taking whatever opportunity there is to give them prasadam, or to, you know, befriend them. You know, sometimes if people just, you know, have a little bit of appreciation for Hare Krishna, you may not be able to say anything about the philosophy because they're so agitated and disturbed. You may not be able to give them prasadam. You may not be able to give them a book. You may not be able to do anything. They're so disturbed and agitated. But if somehow or another, gradually they can just be attracted, that amongst all the people I hate, I actually like this one a little bit. There was this man who used to be on the streets in Sydney, and his brahmacharis used to do the collection, and he was in a wheelchair. He hated the Hare Krishnas, and he had the sense that if a Hare Krishna would come past, he would know that there's a Hare Krishna on the street, and he would just start yelling, "Hare Krishnas rip off the world, you know, Hare, there's a Hare Krishna," and then gradually he would pinpoint where that devotee was, and he would point them out. He would yell and scream, "Hare Krishna rip off." And you know, you could walk across the other side of the street in the lunchtime crowd, this is in Sydney, and he would spot you. He's really, really good. I tried it many, many different times, you know, just you'd sneak past in amongst the crowd, and he would see you. He would spot you. Yeah, the sixth sense. For some, so you haven't done anything to him. You're literally just walking with the crowd on the other side of the street, just going somewhere, and you know, he's disturbed, agitated. That, because why? Because you're a Hare Krishna. That's it. Sometimes, so of course, you know, you wouldn't retaliate against a person like that. Srila Prabhupada often gave the example that, you know, in a hospital where you may be treating patients who are somewhat insane, the doctor doesn't get angry at the patients. You know, the patient may say all sorts of things to the doctor. You know, oh, you know, you're trying to take over the world, and you know they've got all sorts of conspiracy theories because the paranoia and whatever. And they may accuse the doctor of so many different things. The doctor doesn't get angry. He doesn't get disturbed. He just thinks, well, this is a mad person saying so many things. And even sometimes sometimes a patient may strike out, you know, at a doctor or a nurse, you know, and they have to protect themselves, but they don't, you know, beat the hell out of that patient. That's how they don't. You know, in order to teach them a lesson, because I know that, you know, they're just not thinking straight. And, you know, as a doctor, they're just thinking that gradually, as Prabhupada said, if you keep speaking something to someone repeatedly, you know, gradually they will understand. Actually, that's the process. When people are insane, you know, the doctors, they sit down with them and calmly, and they just every day they try to speak to them. You know, this is the situation like this. You know, gradually you come to think like this, everything will be alright. And then the next day, again, speaking to them. And they may do this for some years. But gradually, if you just keep speaking to someone calmly and collectively, gradually they will accept, yes, like that. And you see that literally by that process, you know, with a little sedation, the patients, you know, who are somewhat insane, they gradually come to the platform of sanity. Because our method of sedation is prashadam. That's how we sedate people, so that we can talk to them over a long period of time. You know, they have prashadam, they come in, they're all disturbed, they're agitated. That's a prashadam, you know, you see, they relax, a little kirtan, like that, they become calm. I do that when I do the hair cutting. Actually, you know, most of the parents ring up and they want to do the mundan. And, you know, they're extremely worried that their child is going to absolutely freak out. And, some of them, you know, asked to shorten the whole thing. Can we just do the hair cutting? You know, because let's not do a half an hour thing, because, you know, by the end of half an hour they're going to be just freaked out. Let's just quickly do the hair cutting. And I say to them, the mantras are the most important thing, because actually the mantras calm them down. You know, you chant Hare Krishna, you read a sloka of the Bhagavad Gita, like this. You ring the bells, you do the puja, and they smell the incense, and they smell the flowers, and they see everything like that, and they see the deities. And, you know, then you do the hair cutting, and mostly, you know, people are surprised. And, yeah, how calm? No little child, they're very surprised how they were so calm at that. Of course, some of them, you know, are real fighters. I've seen some of them, it's taken about four adults, you know, to hold a child who's 6 months old. You know, these are like strong men, you know. they just can't grab these little, they can't pin them down. You know, this 6 month old child has defeated four men and a couple of women, you know, hands down. But mostly they're somewhat sedated. But of course, you know, sometimes so we, you know, actually, personally, my observation from preaching in Melbourne, of course I went to New Zealand for some time and other different states, but, you know, basically from 1978 to now, I have seen a very distinct change in the population. You know, previously, if you went out on the streets in a dhoti, you know, you'd be, most likely you'd be harassed, you know, people would call your names, you know. On many, many different occasions, people wanted to be violent, like that. Very rare now, you know, You can walk all over, you know, Melbourne, even in rough areas, and people are, you know, quite happy with the Hare Krishnas. In Christchurch, Wellington, when I was in Wellington for a little bit, we used to live next to the Black Power bikie gang. It was actually the safest part of Wellington where we were, because you know, in the temple, nothing was ever locked. You leave all the windows open, you leave the front door open, even at night time, because we lived next to the Black Power. No one would dare to come into that neighbourhood and harass you. Actually, the Black Power, they liked us, you know. A little bit aggro at first, but after, you know, you feed them some prasad, and no one would dare to come and harass the devotees. You know, prasad is very, 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 very powerful. But still, you know, in many different places, in the early days, it was, you know, a lot more aggression. And, you know, that's the result. Over many, many years, that's the point, that, you know, we've been giving people books, giving people prasadam, talking to them, gradually just trying to befriend them, and actually it works. That, you know, the population of Australia as a whole has become a lot more passive in their reciprocation with the Hare Krishna movement compared to, you know, the experiences that we used to get on a regular basis is very, very rare now, you know, of violence. And that's been done not through, you know, rolling up the sleeves and, you know, saying, yeah, right, we'll take you on, but by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's method. And, you know, to give you an idea of some of the strange things that would happen. I remember one time I was with one devotee. We were traveling, Victoria. It was Victoria, doing a lot of country towns. And of course, especially in country Australia, it was very difficult for them to, even more so than city people, in one sense, to accept the Hare Krishnas. We were just really different. You know, in the city you get a lot of strange people, you know, you get your Mohicans and this and that and the other, but you know, in the country, very simple folk. So the Hare Krishnas were just a bit too much, and they just could not stand the thought of the Hare Krishnas. We were doing hotels with candles, so we'd go into a hotel and we'd sell them the carved candles, and go to the next hotel. And of course, in those days, we had to wear a wig. Which was always, because if you didn't, you know, of course, they would just throw you out of town as soon as they understood. But it was always unusual because, you know, as when you look at people, they're sort of looking just above your forehead, you know, they don't look in your eyes, and sort of, it was always disturbing, sort of looking, they're looking at you weird, you know. And so I used to wear a hat, which did help, so then they were looking at my hat. Anyway, the hat was really good. The hat really disguised the wig. It was like a bureau. So we went into one hotel and we had the candles on the table, and my devotee friend, he was up the other way. We had the car parked out front. So we had a box. We started spreading it around, and people saying, yeah, I'll take one of these and one of those, like this. And then someone says, these guys are Hare Krishnas, like this. And they worked this out. Probably not in my head, I think this is the other devotee's bit. So anyway, I think I had a candle in this hand, and might have been taking money with the other one or something. a handful of money to the Hare Krishna post. And one of the guys grabbed me by the head, the wig and the hat, pulled his hand back, started swearing, and he was just going to knock me out cold. The problem was, as he did it, my wig came off. So he's like, what? You know, he just didn't expect it. It was actually, he didn't realize I had a wig on. And while he's like that, I grab my candles and I run. And my friend, who was sort of a little further into the hotel, he got somewhat surrounded. And so he did pick up a candle and just went crunch on one guy's head. And immediately, you know, like this, you know, blood coming down. And then he runs out. I hear him, you know, Ganga, start the car. So I jump in the car, start the car. Basically, I'm already moved by the time he comes along. The whole pub just pours out after us. You know, there's like, you know, all these guys, we're going to kill you, you Hare Krishnas. He dives into the car and off we go. And off to the next town to do it. To do it again. You know, there's some. Of course, if he didn't hit that guy with that candle, they would have absolutely massacred him. And he was lucky to get out of there. I was lucky because my wig came off. Yeah. Okay. Another time, in a Christmas marathon, we were doing, again, candles. And we were doing all the hotels that we used to do late at night. And I walked into the bar, and as soon as I walked in, they all just turned around and looked at me. They immediately grabbed me, threw me against the wall, surrounded me, grabbed me by the throat. What are you doing in here like this? And I was thinking, I've got to come up with a good reason, you know, within about 2 seconds, otherwise I'm done. And of course, the trick is that I actually learned this as a young boy, because I grew up with little minnows, which are very rough here. And as a young boy, I used to travel from at the age of about 8 or 9 from Broadmeadows to the city, Melbourne. And I used to sell ice cream to the picture theatre. You know, at half time, they don't have that now. You'd have a tray, and when they're watching the movie, they'd have a half time. You'd go down and just sell everyone ice creams and, you know, Chiquitos or whatever. So on the way back home, we'd catch the last train home. So it was about, you know, 11:30, you know, midnight. And all the gangs and the drunks were on the train. And they would sit there, and they had knives, and, you know, sometimes they literally set the carriage. And the trick was that you have to look, if you look away, you're saying there's something wrong with you. And if you look at them, you're challenging them. So it's a combination between not showing any fear of looking at them without challenging them, and not for too long. Not an easy thing to do. So anyway, these guys had, you know, grabbed me. I was pinned up against the wall, my box of candles. Guy's got his hand around my throat. They've all surrounded me. I've got about 2 seconds to think. So I sort of said in a funny way, you know, like, well, just some candles. And they sort of laughed, you know. I sort of made them laugh. And they go, oh, okay. And they let me go. And I actually didn't, I could see these guys were so rough that I didn't try to sell them. I just walked out straight out. I didn't even bother, even though they let me go. I knew I probably had about 2 or 3 seconds before they'd get me again. And yeah, very. And of course, the worst one we actually did get, you know, hit some sort of a club or an iron bar, knock that tooth out. Again, selling candles, door to door. Very similar. They were just, a lot of very, very rough people. And literally, some of these people just sit in the hotel all day and for days and days, and they're just waiting for the opportunity to bash and rob someone. And all of a sudden, you stroll in, especially if you've got money and what have you like that, and you're a Hare Krishna, you're the first target. But these days, of course, I don't know that devotees do that. Hotels and things like that. Do they still do that? No. Probably a good reason for it. But still, people are generally a lot more amiable to the Hare Krishnas. But and in some parts of the world, in some of the communist countries, where they have, wanted to get devotees, and literally, in Russia, they would, I think some of the devotees even died, some were tortured, some very, very terrible thing happened to devotees, gradually over time they've become, appreciated by many, many people, even in some of the, worst places in the world. So this is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, bit by bit, slowly but surely, giving people Krishna prasadam, chanting Hare Krishna, always a big smile on the face, and when people become a little pacified, taking the opportunity to speak to them, and over the course of generations, you'll be surprised how everyone becomes the demoniac, crazy person that is within their heart becomes killed. And that is our method here. And just one more point on this here. Ashwatthama, he commits a very, very serious sinful activity. We see later on that he is actually spared, that he is allowed to live. But actually for thousands of years he suffers very severe reactions for some of his activities. He wanders and suffers. Gradually he becomes God conscious, and it's described that if we can take up bhakti yoga, of which the principal element of bhakti yoga is thinking of the Supreme Lord, somehow or another if we can think of the Supreme Lord or help others too, that bhakti yoga destroys the reactions to every type of sinful activity that one may have committed. Even the killing of a Brahmin. Even in previous lifetimes, if someone has, here Ashwatthama is, performing this very sinful activity, killing the five sons of Draupadi. even if someone in a previous lifetime has, offended a Vaishnava, or killed a Brahmin, very, very sinful activities, you consider the most sinful activities. If they take up chanting Hare Krishna and always try to think of Krishna, gradually, by the grace of Krishna, it will actually remove the reaction of that sinful activity. By removing the reaction of that sinful activity, that person will again not be so disturbed in life, because a lot of it, when a person is very frustrated, their life is very hellish, they become very angry at everyone. When people chant Hare Krishna, it actually removes the sinful reaction from many, many lifetimes. And in fact, they get the blessings that they become even materially, their suffering in material existence is somewhat removed. So that is another way in which they become, pacified and become happy, and they lose their anger, is by becoming purified of the sinful reactions, even the most terrible sinful reactions. So just by chanting Hare Krishna. I'll just leave it there. If anyone has any questions or comments. I did. Actually, the first time I read the Bhagavad Gita, which is the first Krishna conscious book I ever read, I was completely intoxicated. I was actually at a party. I'd been drinking alcohol, smoking dope, probably a couple of other things, and I was so intoxicated I could, barely keep my eyes steady when I tried to read the book. But even then, as I was reading the Bhagavad Gita, I thought, gee, this is the best thing I've ever seen as far as knowledge and philosophy. I was just trying to read the preface, and I could only get a little bit, and I thought, I'm going to have to read this when I'm sober. And so I actually asked the lady who was an ex-girlfriend, could I have that Bhagavad Gita? And she said to me, I'll give you, because she was an ex-girlfriend, she said, I'll give you the Bhagavad Gita if you give me your diary. I used to take my diary everywhere and I'd write everything down. I said, yeah. I gave her my diary, I took the Bhagavad Gita. And so even though I was so intoxicated, I was prepared to give up my diary to take that book and read it when I was sober. But, generally don't bother if they're intoxicated. It's not as if we can't do something. But you can quickly gauge from a person if they're intoxicated. Very quickly gauge, there's no use wasting our time. But there's no use for extended conversations or any real philosophy. You can sort of make an impression with the one or two sentences, and that's about it. Because level, as I said, even I was trying to read the Bhagavad Gita, but I just couldn't take it in. My eyes couldn't, were wobbling all over the page. But I still understood that there was something wonderful. So my attention span, was reduced. You may be able to, say one or two things to make an impression that they may come back when they're sober. You don't want them waking up thinking, the last thing I remember is those Hare Krishna being really rude just because I was intoxicated, just because I went to the temple intoxicated, they were really rude. We might give a little bit of a shout, say one or two things, befriend them, and quickly ask them out.
What about if
they're
a bit
Yeah. for persons like that, and you know, there's a lot of those situations in Kali Yuga, and it just gets worse and worse and worse. You know, just literally try to, you know, remove yourself from that conversation, from that person, as quickly as possible. And, you know, doing it in such a way that the person may not be agitated, but they may just, you know, you don't want to do things where they feel that you've been rude or disturbed them, because, you know, so in such a way that, you know, maybe accidentally the phone got cut off or something. But for persons like that, you really have to be very careful. There are a lot of, you know, extremely disturbed persons. See, one of the things, as Hare Krishnas, because we live in a very sanctified and purified environment, we tend to actually forget the horrors of the way people are living in this age, and just how violent and senselessly violent people can be in a second for no reason at all. Here, Ashwatthama, this is very surprising. This is 5,000 years ago. He slaughtered 5 children while they were sleeping. And he was a trained soldier. Just a few days ago, in I think it was Afghanistan, a trained soldier, an American soldier, woke up at 2 o'clock in the night, armed himself with a couple of rifles, and just went through the village and just started shooting. He had the night vision. He would open the door. He would go into the house and he would just shoot everyone there. And basically, there were women, children. I think there was 9 children. You know, in one family, and you just, you know. So, these things are more and more prevalent in Kali Yuga. You know, because we're associating generally with very nice people, we can sometimes forget how dangerous it is in this age of Kali. And so, you know, we should be somewhat aware of that and act in such a way that we're not agitating a person, but that somehow or another we're just very quickly removing ourselves from that person's, you know, attention. You know, there's been a few people who sometimes come along and they've, you know, sometimes started harassing the women or the children. Very common in this day and age that, you know, the people who are violent in these days have no principles at all. You know, that for them to be violent to a young defenseless child, or, you know, a woman who may be picking their flowers, it doesn't even register at all that that's wrong. In fact, in their minds, they're thinking this is the best type of violence. Very, very, you know, crazy times in Kali Yuga. There have been a few people I've had to ask to leave in the courtyard. And some of the other devotees as well, you know, who have come here to the temple and started harassing women and children, or the men becoming a bit violent. You had to ask them to leave. You know, in one sense, the Hare Krishna movement has always been somewhat a magnet for people who don't fit into society. For many people who somehow don't fit into society, it's quite likely that may at one stage or another end up at the Hare Krishna temple, coming in for a feed or for friendship or what have you. And some of these people who don't fit into society don't fit in for a very good reason. You know, they're very, very antisocial. Any other questions? I that would scare you. Chant Hare Krishna, keep your shower, dance, be happy.